Okay, and I don't have anything here. I'm going to play this music real quick. And oh, wait, not that music. I don't want that music. Hold on. I'm trying to be all, like, cool and fancy and stuff, you know, and be able to do fun things.
Yeah, exactly.
There. So let's see.
There you go.
Welcome. Whiskey Throttle Crash Cart. This is Arden Ballard, physician assistant athletic trainer, and your medical content creator for David Pingree's Whiskey Throttle Media. I'm here today with a dentist. His name is Dave Ecker. I'm going to pull up his little info here. I think it's really cool. So Dave here is a rider, and he owns his own practice in Arizona, correct?
Yep, Scottsdale.
Scottsdale area?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. So we're going to talk about some dentistry stuff and some how it pertains to our favorite sport of motocross. Dave, welcome.
Hey, appreciate it. No, thanks for making this happen. I know, like, it was cool to – I know I reached out to Ping, and I said I was following your crash cart thing. And I go, there's kind of a lot of stuff that you can cover in motocross and medicine in general. I mean, just like what we were talking about before this, before we started recording, I mean, we're all familiar with the broken bones and breaking bikes, and we're kind of used to breaking things. So I'm like, well, we break teeth and then we use them. And so it's like, you know, there's a lot in nutrition and, you know, these athletes you talk about, you hear them all the time on these interviews of being just need to be perfect and on the top of their game and everything needs to be perfect. And it's a lot of things that I see in my practice. People neglect their mouth, just like every other, you know, other parts of their body. But specifically, you know, I kind of see it all starts here, right? Food we eat, how we take care of ourselves, things we ingest, and all the way down to even things we're smoking now, right? So I see a lot of things changing. I know. So I'm seeing a lot of things changing. And it all ties into athletes and specifically something that you and I are both passionate about and everyone else is motocross.
Well, I'm really excited that you reached out in particular. I think when we first connected, I was having a day of days in my clinic. You know, I'll occasionally pick up a shift in an urgent care. And I think that day I had three or four infected mouth patients. And of course they come to urgent care and I try to tell them, I don't know what the hell's going on in your mouth, dude. Like, I'm not trained. I know you have teeth, but I even, you know, I don't treat dental infections. I just, you know, put you on antibiotics and send you to your nice friendly dentist. So to say that I'm not well informed in the dental trauma world is an understatement. So, and I'm sure our audience is too. So
you're not alone. I mean, I went to school at University of Kentucky, and the medical students there had a 30-minute lecture of dentistry and everything else. And then from there they get told, hey, just kick it to your dentist, send them, tell the patient exactly what you do. I see that 95% of the time people have a toothache. Of course, it happens on Christmas, Thanksgiving, and the weekend. It never happens during the week, right? So they go see you guys at urgent care, and you guys go, if you're super kind of up to date, you'll numb them up, give them about 2 hours of relief, and you get the prescription pad out, and there you go. So there is. I mean, that's a big problem, to be honest with you, in dentistry and medicine in general. I mean, dentistry is still more private, so we have the luxury of more kind of a Monday through Friday schedule. And, you know, I'm just like, we're all people, right? When we be working on the weekends, I want to be out riding with you guys and doing things like that, not doing toothaches. But the problem with that, when people get these problems, they go, well, where am I going to go? And you go to urgent care, and then you have urgent care providers from all levels going, hey man, here's a prescription pad, go to your dentist next week.
Yep.
It's like, well, what do you do? So yeah, I mean, I think it'd be cool to kind of give people, I think what was really useful was your podcast of like, hey, this is what you should bring to the track with emergencies and things. And that kind of sparked my idea to reach out to be like, well, there's a lot of stuff that can happen up in this region, pretty much what dentists deal with, are the clavicles up, right? And there's a lot that happens from trauma to maybe that tooth that you've been kind of, it's been irritating people for a little bit, it flares up, or, you know, maybe their gums are bleeding or it's chronic inflammation. So we touched on a little bit too. I mean, I know when I ride, I tend to clench my teeth together and then I stop breathing. And then we all kind of know, I know the arm pump kind of, everyone has a little bit of different philosophy of what it's caused from. You have the old thing, everyone's eating bananas at the track. And then it's like, well, you're not breathing, you're not doing this. So, I mean, I think we can all agree that if you're not breathing when you're out riding on the track, I mean, that's just going to slow you down, cause bigger problems and, you know, kind of, you know, cause problems. So Yeah, I think it'd be cool to kind of dive into it and give the average guy kind of a little bit of a Cliff Notes idea of like, hey, this is some things maybe that you're doing at the track, and or if you have some kind of trauma to the face, what can you do to get you and your buddy safe?
And I don't really think that the general public thinks about injuring their face. I mean, shoot, that's why they wear their $800 helmet, right? I mean, it's sure it's going to protect my face, right? But I mean, it wasn't too long ago that, a facial trauma was on mainstream motocross media, right? And then, thank God that he was able to get the medical attention that he needed. But I mean, accidents happen, right? So, give me your rundown. So what would have you treated a lot of facial trauma when it comes to motocross stuff, or what comes to your mind as to what you would try to
It's
keep people up to date with?
it hasn't been from motocross. It's actually been from the those bird scooters that people rent, you know? Yeah. And here in Scottsdale, it's kind of like a mini Vegas. People are coming out here for bachelorette parties and whatever. So they go golfing during the day and then they're wadded up on these scooters. So I know I've seen a handful of those in my practice, and usually it's everything. I mean, we saw this year, was it this year or last year, where Chase Sexton came up short in Daytona and busted from his teeth. I
Right.
mean, I was more interested in actually seeing it and what they did, but even with a full face helmet, this guy's factoring. He still has the top of the top, and he's somehow squeezing. He's getting hit in the face, chipping teeth. So, in regards to motocross specific, now, I mean, I've seen more of the bird scooters, but everything from, just a simple chip that, we can dive into the technical a little bit. Whether it's just, you can throw like a filling material, just a little bonding on there, or are we talking we need to do a full on crown, which would be like a cap on the tooth. The tricky thing with those, though, is you just never know, are they going to need something in the future? Is this pretty much where we're at? So trauma is a little bit more difficult and unpredictable, because it can, sometimes it happens where it hits if the nerve of the tooth isn't exposed, and hey, we'll just kind of treat it, see what we can do. If everything's fine, great. But if they come in and it flares up, usually the case is it's like, everyone heard the dreaded root canal. You do a root canal in the tooth. Pretty much what that is, I tell people it's not that big of a deal. Pretty much what you're doing is a filling for the inside of the tooth. You're removing that inflamed nerve, that area, filling it. And most people, by the end of the procedure, they're like, well, what'd you do? I said, well, you don't know. I was working on everything on the inside. Nothing on the outside really gets messed with. So you have that. And then in really weird cases, you hit so hard that you actually break the jawbone and your tooth moves on you a little bit. So it's like, well, what do you do in that case? And usually it's kind of like casting. Like we were just talking before, I broke my foot. I'm in one of those walking boots. You cast it up and you wait. And so that's the same thing we do. If you have any broken teeth, it will put pretty much a wire on the front. It doesn't look pretty. It kind of looks like braces, and let Mother Nature take over, just like everything else. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But I do see what does worry me. So I've been riding a lot more off-road, hard enduro and stuff. Not so much motocross anymore. And the area I ride out in Arizona, there's a lot of trials riders, and they leave the open face helmets, and I'm going, and they're bouncing on these granite rocks. And I mean, they're not
What's the
going.
worst that could happen, right?
Oh, I know, man. And it's like, man, you guys are good. One day you just slip and you're going to kiss that rock, or get a handlebar to the face or whatever. And it's like, huh? Well, you calling me? Oh shit. What's going on?
I
So
might mess up your weekend.
Oh yeah. But yeah, see, I do see it. I see the trauma, and a lot of, like you said, a lot of times people don't think about it. And another problem I see with that is motocross guys and gals tend to be super tough, and it always have the attitude, I'll just walk it off. We'll
Right.
steal it later. And in more extreme cases, if you, let's say you hit so hard, you knock out your front teeth. Those are super important. Time is very, very important. We have about an hour to work with on whether we can, well, really save that tooth. And what I mean by that, it's if it completely comes out and it's whole, you have a ligament that's attached to the tooth that attaches it to the jawbone. So that ligament can die, and you have about an hour to work with. So that is one of those things that if you can, you don't want to set it in water. That's the worst thing you can do. Reason being is that you rinsing it off is fine, but you don't want to have it sit there, because what you're doing is you don't really know what's in tap water and our Camelbacks and everything. I mean, as everything's science and a balance of pH and different nutrients and whatnot. So for everyone out there, if it does happen, the best thing you can do is just keep either eat a keep it in your mouth. corner of your cheek, something like that, or put it in a cup full of spit. And I know that sounds crazy, but that's the best you can do. It has the correct environment for the correct nutrients, correct enzymes. You have everything that you're, that tooth lives in. So just put in a cup of spit and try and find a dentist as soon as possible. Like I said, you have about an hour is the sweet spot.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because I was going to ask for you to myth bust for me, because I always heard about, you know, filling up a cup of milk and you put your tooth in milk.
Yeah. That's good. That is like a second best. That's not a bad one either. It is. It's, you're right. You're on it. Good. So that one's also, that's important. But then again, I mean, who's, if you're drinking milk in your Camelback when you're out riding, or you bring it, you're disgusting. You're in a GNCC race, pull it in and throwing some Nesquik back isn't exactly the thing to do. So,
but you bring up the hour. The last I checked, I don't think there's a dentist office outside of my nearest motocross track. Because most of our motocross tracks, I mean, I'm in Southeast Louisiana. And so you have to go into the boonies to find a suitable riding spot. Right. So the hour elapses and you still have this tooth in your mouth. Like, what do you tell somebody if it's a Saturday and it's 3 PM and they break their tooth and there's no way they're being seen? So what's next?
It's tough. So if it completely comes out and you kind of trust your buddies, and you know, you don't want to be trusting the one that's the drinker. You want to trust the smartest one in the group. So I accept, rinse it off, try and put it back as best as you can. Okay. And that's kind of where we're at, you know, try and position it as best as you can. I mean, if you're like kind of what you're talking about, if we're a Weston Pike scenario where you're, I mean, that's a whole different story, right? Your teeth are going to be the least of your worries. We'll figure something out. But if it's something that you just, what really comes to mind are these trials guys, they slam, knock it back, try and position it as best as you can, and get back into town. If it completely comes out, like I said, try and put it back in. Or if you are close enough and you're able to get a hold of a dentist or someone that has enough knowledge to understand like what to do, get in there as best as you can. But it is tough, kind of like what I said. The problem that we have is we're riding on the weekends, and most dental offices are closed on the weekend. And the ones that are open, you know, a lot of times they're more of the, which we're seeing a shift in dentistry. It's more of a corporate office. And so it's the training there might not be the best, you know, I don't know, you know, it makes it a little bit tougher for people. So the advice I would say is either A, pop it in there, leave it with spit, and then hope you can get it with an hour. Now, if we go past an hour, it's the prognosis of that tooth working out is going to go down significantly. Mm-hmm. That's the hardest thing. And so, one of my good friends out here, he came in the other day he had that happen on a bicycle. He'd see it happen all the time. Bicycle front, elbow from basketball, whatever. Had it in there, had the root canal done on it. And so what can happen is your body will start to recognize a foreign object and slowly start to break it down. Okay. So for him, I looked at him, I was like, Jesus, man, I mean, your tooth is hanging on by a string. Like, it's barely in there. I'm sorry. If you bite on an apple, it's going to break off. He's like, well, what are you talking about? It's called resorption, meaning that your body goes, hey, that's not supposed to be there. So it starts to eat it slowly, for lack of better terms. Which we don't want anyways. So it's one of those things. The nice thing now about modern dentistry and modern medicine in general is we have replacements. You know, I mean, there's nothing bad, as we all know, right? Anyone out there has ever had a knee replacement, hip replacement, they're like, yeah, the pain's gone, it's great, but it's still not the same, right? Yeah. It's still not my knee, it's not my hip. And then, like we were talking about, once you break a bone, even if you do just, you don't even need surgery on it. Let's say it's not full of plates and screws. It's still never the same, right? It's always off a little bit. So same thing with teeth. So nowadays we have dental implants, which a lot of people know about, right? They've kind of heard, they don't really understand. They go, I don't know, it looks like a screw, right? As moto guys, we go, I don't know, it looks like a screw. Just put that bolt, we're full of that. So, and somewhat it is. So what it is, it looks like a screw, goes in the jawbone, but you're not so much screwing it into the jaw. What you're doing is you're waiting for the bone to grow into the threads of that implant. That's the most important thing.
Okay.
So the nice thing about those, you know, the old saying in dentistry is you're taking a one tooth problem and you leave it a one tooth problem. Mm-hmm. So you get the bone that grows into the threads of the implant, you put the false tooth on top of it, you're good to go. The problem is that whole process takes about 7-ish months, depending on a lot of factors. But I tell my patients, I go, you're probably not going to get a tooth on there anywhere between 6 months to a year. It's going to be a little bit, right? A lot of healing is the biggest thing. Implants are the greatest thing we have. but I still wouldn't choose an implant over a natural tooth.
Got it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let me switch gears for a second because
Yeah, sure.
we see Eli Tomac. He's taking out his mouth guard. He wears a mouth guard when he rides. I think there's a few other guys who, you know, we see on TV, they're pulling out their mouth guards at the end of the day. And I know there's a lot of data out there for mouth guards or mouth protection and concussion reduction.
Right.
You know, obviously the concussive force from the jaw and the mouth can ricochet into the brain and give a concussion. And so wearing that helps mitigate that a little bit. Do you advocate for mouth guards in the prevention of dental injuries?
I mean, that's a really good question because I think it can go a couple ways. I think if you are the type of rider that, let's say, you tend to clench when you're riding, and if you're a real serious rider, you see them even doing this in the gym, right? You'll see guys that are doing squats and any kind of bench press or any kind of just traditional workout, and they're clenching their teeth, and they really feel like that's where they're getting extra force. So, if you're the type of guy that you notice that that's what you're doing, yeah, I think it's a great idea. I think it's a great thing because what you're doing is you can cause stress fractures on these teeth, right? So I tell people fractures and teeth are real similar to a cracked windshield. Once they start, you really never know where they're going to go. They start to bounce all over. Eventually, either A, something breaks off, you get to the nerve of the tooth, now you're in pain. So I think it is a great thing in that sense. The only thing I maybe wouldn't advocate for them is if you're having a hard time breathing with it.
Yeah.
And also, so my wife and I own the practice, and we're sedation trained dentists. So what really opened my eye is more of like how important airway is in sedation, right? So kind of segueing that into riding, if it's not a great fit, you know, I don't think it's a great idea to go to Walgreens or Amazon and just kind of do the old Pop Warner, pop it in and with hot water and make it work. Because when you're riding, too many things are moving. So if there's a chance it's either A, going to pop out, and then you're going to swallow it, I think that's a huge risk that I
Sure.
don't think is worth it. Also, if you tend to have breathing problems in general, and which we could dive into a little bit, then I think that's kind of up to you. If it's worth the risk of maybe you're not, you know, maybe we should be breathing through our nose, right? That's what we all think. But if you tend to be a mouth breather, then now you're adding something else that could obstruct it, even though it's a tight fit. I don't know. I'm gonna leave that. That's where I see the pros and cons. But if you do find you're like, they're the type of guy or girl that you're clenching while you're riding, it's probably worth it. But they're just tricky because I see patients do it all the time where they buy these mouthpieces and they kind of have the old football mentality. I'll put it in hot water and I'll wear it at night, but they're not fitting right, right?
Right.
So there's a lot of complexities to our jaw, the way it works, and we could dive into really deep, but I'll kind of give you the cliff notes because the thing about our jaw that makes it so unique is it moves in a three-dimensional plane, right? So you look at your cat or dog, they just move up and down. An alligator is what I tell patients, they just move up and down. But ours is a little bit different. So there's different theories, and this is a kind of a we're diving real deep into dentistry and jaw problems, right? But then there's a lot of theories in what mouthpieces can and can't do, in regards to maybe causing more damage than good. So if you're the type of rider that you're like, hey man, I'm clenching, I know that I'm taking out my teeth, you're getting a lot of jaw pain usually right here at the angle of the jaw, right here. Maybe after you go do a 20-minute moto, you're like, oh my God, I got a headache.
Right.
Maybe it's for you. Yeah, usually it's not just protecting teeth, but we're also dealing with the muscles too in the face. And so I find a lot of headaches with those people that are clenching at night, doing along those things. And we treat that a little bit different, usually mouthpieces or, I mean, I'm talking a hardcore guy, like I'm getting in the weeds a little bit. You can either Botox this area.
Yep.
If you ever see the word Botox to moto guys, they're going to be like, I don't do that. Like, that's my wife does that or whatever. It's like, no. It's not just to get rid of the wrinkles, right? And as you know, we do a lot of that to let's get your muscles to calm down.
Yeah, I treat my wife with Botox and her jaw muscles and her masseters for grinding and clenching. Yep.
See, you got it. Exactly. So you just poke them in there. My wife does it all the time. I do it to some patients, and I mean, has your wife noticed a huge reduction? And
Very, yeah.
yeah.
She was taking, no lie, she was taking maybe 3 grams of Excedrin on a
Oh.
daily basis. I mean, she was getting more caffeine and aspirin than, I mean, an army of people should ever need.
Yeah.
You could flick her and she would bruise. And I'm talking like she looked like gigantic, like people thought I'd beat her. I don't beat my wife. Right. Sure as hell look like it after all the bruises she got. Yeah. But it's cut down her Excedrin use by 95%.
Oh, it's huge. So yeah.
It's a big helper for sure.
Yeah. It's a game changer. I mean, I have patients that we use Botox, and it's not just women, you know, for people listening. It's like a lot of men out there. They're like, I mean, I can't think straight. I have these headaches. I'm waking up in the morning in a fog. And it's like, just go to your dentist, have them touch the muscles here in the angle of the jaw. If it hurts when you, or even do it at home, yeah. If it hurts right here, like a sore muscle, like an overworked, I don't know, bicep from doing too many curls, feel it. And if that hurts, there you go. It could be a factor.
I love it, man.
Yeah. Well,
so to add to, you know, I put out a video, if y'all haven't seen it, check it out, on our playlist down below. But I put out a video about the tools that you should bring to a local mm-hmm. motocross track just to help, you know, help patch yourself up or, medicate yourself if you need to. So is there anything from your perspective and your experience that you would add, to that list?
Oh, that's a good one. The medication's kind of a good thing. I think is always a good discussion. I ride with guys, like I said, at all kinds of different educational levels, age groups. There's about 10 of us consistently, like most guys. You got a group text with 10, 15 guys. You get some weekends two show up, some 10.
Right.
And one thing I notice is like most of them, if they don't come from a medical background, they really just, they don't know. And the reason I bring that up is I ride with one guy who, he makes more money, knows what to do with. He's a FedEx pilot internationally. And, you know, he'll say things like about medication. Like I took 800 milligrams of aspirin. It was probably ibuprofen, right? That your doctor prescribed. So. Yeah. Right. And I ride with someone that's a teacher in a rural area. I mean, so point being, it's all over the place, but something I do find across the map is people, they don't understand medication, and I don't blame them. They're not supposed to. Right. Right. So, one thing with medication, it's usually what comes with the motocross crowd is we're adventurous. We enjoy riding. We enjoy doing everything. And we're very active. And sometimes you have a couple beers, maybe the night before you're going riding. Sometimes you had a little too much to drink, maybe getting the aspirin and the Tylenol is not what you want to grab. Right. That's also hard on your liver. So you just had a couple hours of drinking and then you're throwing in an aspirin or Tylenol, and those drugs, as you know, right, they're metabolized in the liver, and that's kind of putting a little extra stress on there.
Right.
Also the dosing. People, right? Motocross, more is just more. We always want more. It's like, no. Let it do its thing. For most people, I mean, you see two things now. I was at a recent continuing ed with a pharmacist, and he was saying, you know, you have Tylenol saying 3,000 milligrams, and then you have other people saying 4,000 milligrams, mm-hmm. which most Tylenols are 500 milligrams, as we know, but just so people know. So I mean, you got between 8 to 6 pills. That's a lot. Yep. Whether it is the max, I mean, we both know usually one knocks it out pretty well. So I tell people you want to keep ibuprofen and Tylenol with you, and kind of segueing that into a little bit of the dental discussion too. Not so much from trauma related, but if you end up having a dental procedure done and you do want to go riding the next day and you don't want this ache and pain, dental pain all comes from inflammation, 90% of it. What's good about getting rid of inflammation? NSAIDs, right? Yep. What are our NSAIDs? Well, you have a leave. That's kind of a slow releasing one. The problem with that one is it's not as great at kicking inflammation. It's more good at kind of managing kind of chronic pain. So as we talked earlier, you have arthritis. That's the one you want to take, right? Something to kind of mellow into. The best thing is ibuprofen. Ibuprofen's not, a lot of people take it, or, you know, they're like, oh yeah, just going to get ibuprofen. It's really good about inflammation, pain management. It's okay. Mm-hmm. So after a dental procedure, after a trauma, more than just, maybe you do hurt your knee, your leg or anything. It doesn't have to be dental related. I mean, I tell my friends, you want ibuprofen and Tylenol. They work together. Tylenol makes the pain fuzzy here. Ibuprofen is going to make the pain fuzzy at the site of injury. So that's kind of the easy thing to go to, something that people can get. Also, as motocross guys with pills and pain management, we're all familiar with Percocets and Norcos, and we've all been prescribed them at some point, right? And we all have a little bit on the rainy day, whether you got your wisdom teeth out or you did get the ACL done or whatever it is. The thing is, I don't think it's a great idea to keep those in your riding bag or take those to the track, even if you do. If you do get knocked out and you have that in your system, A, you don't want that in your system when you're riding. B, you don't want that system if you're on your way in your system on the way to the hospital. You might have to get surgery that day. Anesthesiologists don't make their life any harder by adding some kind of drugs. I mean, you're in a safe place, but I don't think that's a great idea.
Well, and a lot of people don't know that Tylenol is the active ingredient in these opiates. You know, it's the opioid is what makes you high. The Tylenol is actually what's doing the trick. So, yeah, just stick to Tylenol, folks.
I know. And you know, it's funny too. Like I said, I was at that pharmacist was talking to me not too long ago, and a big thing that we prescribe as dentists is Tylenol threes, right? Tylenol with codeine. The whole thing is codeine gets metabolized into a morphine type drug, and it's he told me, and I didn't know this. He said about 30% of people can't metabolize codeine to morphine. So Tylenol three is not you're all you're getting is Tylenol, you know? And so that's also a problem that you see with people too, is they do have the Percocets for the rainy day and they're in a lot of pain. And then you start loading Tylenol on it. Well, most Percocets, like you just said, they have Tylenol in them. So, you know, take it easy on your liver. We do enough of that with the Coors Light. So, you know, don't add the pills
And
on top
just the stress of riding itself on the abdominal structures. I mean,
it. Oh, yeah.
riding takes a toll on your system as a whole. I remember when we'd all wear kidney belts and we'd all pee blood after, you know, after a moto, after riding all day. It's like you're doing enough damage. Let's not compound the issue.
Oh, it's insane. Right. So, you know, it's easy to say, right, to be the guy that people us, right? You work in healthcare and we tell everyone, hey, knock it off, like do the right thing for your body. And it's like, yeah, I think most, I mean, obviously the elite athletes, your Ken Rocks and your Eli, like those extreme guys are doing everything that they possibly can. But I think the more important thing is for the weekend warrior, it's like, guys, like maybe having the burger fries and four beers before a day of riding, yeah, that might not be the best thing before you go riding. And I'm not trying to advocate just like go out and have salads and quinoa and kale. It's like, you know, maybe just calm down a little bit, and then yeah, I think you'll see your riding improve.
Yeah, doing a little planning 48, 72 hours prior is a phenomenal idea.
Yeah, and it's something so simple, but I mean, we're all guilty of it, right? You're hanging out with your buddies, you go out camping, you're riding the next day, and you're like, ah, what's another one?
Well, I mean, none of us, I'll venture to say that nobody who's watching this video is being paid an exorbitant amount of money to ride their motorcycle. So,
You're right.
we all have other stuff that's paying the bills. So,
Yeah. Yeah.
we got to keep that in mind.
I don't have Red Bull on the side of my helmet. So, So that's kind of big. And then also kind of keeping yourself healthy in regards to the more of the mouth area, which a lot of people neglect. I see a lot of guys do it and they go, I'm only here because my wife told me to. Go in and just get your checkups and your cleanings, right? It's if you had an infection on your calf or on your arm or back or something, you'd probably get it checked out. But I see people walking around all the time, and we call it calculus or tartar, you do the normal thing, but you have this huge amount of buildup in your gums and you have this chronic inflammation, right? Your body is constantly sending soldiers out to fight this battle that it's not going to win. So just do all the guys and everyone listen, just go get your checkup. You know, just a simple cleaning. It takes an hour and a half out of your day every 6 months. It's not that big of a deal. You got to do it. We're getting older, man. We got to go get the physicals and the prostate exams and all the stuff we hate doing, right? But you got to do it.
Gotta take care of that body, man.
Yeah, that's big on that.
Dave, I know you have to go soon.
Yeah.
I appreciate your time. If anybody has any questions, if they want to reach out to you, where can they find you?
So my email is probably easiest. So it's pretty simple. It's just Dr. Ecker at Gmail. So Delta Romeo Echo Charlie Charlie Kilo Echo Romeo. So I kind of keep it simple. Military code usually does it. There you
How's
go.
that? There we go.
That's
All right,
it.
folks. Reach out to Dr. Ecker if you have any questions. If you have any questions for us, or if you know somebody who would want to be on the show and chit chat about some medicine stuff when it comes to motocross, give me a shout or send Ping an email and we'll get you on board. Thanks, guys. Dave, anything else?
No, man, I appreciate the time, and this was fun. Thanks.
All right, guys. We'll talk to y'all later.
See ya.